There is a bold new show out on TV3 and 3 Now at the moment. Crackhead. Quite a good name. Quite catchy. Gives you a hint of what it might be about. Crackhead charts the trials and tribulations of a young woman, Frankie, who is sent to a mental health facility for her addiction issues. She has to stay there for 28 days, where she has to get clean and prove to the courts that she's a changed woman and no longer a risk to society. What that risk is, you find out as the series unfolds. And the wellness centre, The Last Resort, two A's, L-A-A-S-T, is full of characters and challenges, and the whole show is created by Holly Shervey, who also stars and was inspired by her own experiences in a mental health unit in her early 20s. Holly Shervey is in the studio with us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Emma. Thank you for having me.
How are you doing?
I'm really good. Like, you just saw, I have a newborn. So
Yes. There's a baby in the BFM studio.
Yeah, so there's never a dull moment.
Yeah, and as well as having a five-week-old baby, you're promoting your new show. How does that feel? Is that a lot?
Yeah, it's a lot. A new show, baby. It's a beautiful time.
Yeah, bringing things out into the world. How long were you working on? I know how long babies take, but how long does the show take? How long, when did this germination sort of start? And yeah, can you talk us through the timeline of Crackhead?
Yeah, the idea sort of first came to me in around about 2017. So it's been a time, it's been a journey.
Yeah, that's nearly 10 years.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that child would be going to intermediate.
Yeah.
It would.
Yeah, well, it was well grown when we got to bring it to the world.
Yeah. So where did you sort of get the idea to put this concept, we'll get into the sort of personal experience behind, but when did you think this needs to be a show?
We'd just finished filming this series that we actually came into the studio to talk about back in the day called Awkward Love.
Yeah.
And it was a comedy series inspired by my awkward love life. And it felt like that show worked so well because it was inspired by true stories. And so I was like, okay, well, what is the next story I can bring to the world? And it was Crackhead, and it was based on my experience in psychiatric care in my early 20s.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is about true stories, but they just seem richer.
Mm. How real is this? Like, what sort of plot points and details were drawn directly from your own experience?
Definitely the heart of Frankie, in terms of mental health issues. You know, it was a world I'd experienced, so I've never had to fabricate the world of mental health.
She's not okay.
She ain't okay.
No.
But she's an ordinary person.
Yeah.
Just someone who's gone, an ordinary person who's gone through extraordinary experiences. And that was another reason why I really wanted to tell this story, because the people I've met on my mental health journey are just ordinary people.
Mm.
None of us are actually crazy. We're just ordinary people who have gone through these extraordinary experiences.
Yeah, and everyone sort of deals with that in different ways. There's a lot of self-medicating and coping, and we sort of see a spectrum of that with Frankie and with the other her peers in the centre.
Peers is a great word. A lot of people want to go inmates.
No, I did not. I didn't want to say inmates, so I was saying peers. And yeah, like, Frankie self-medicates with alcohol, with every drug under the sun, with, you know, sex she probably shouldn't be having with certain people, erratic behaviour. It's a pretty wild ride. And we see it all from the very start of the first episode.
Yeah, it's in your face. And I should say as well, like, would those are Frankie's vices, and they are definitely different from my own personal vices.
Yeah.
And so, yes, while it is a story based in truth, we've definitely had to
it's fiction.
Yeah, create characters and scenarios from our imaginations. But it's just the way people behave in that world is something we've never had to make up.
Yeah. And I think everyone's sort of either experienced things like that themselves or with people they love or know. Like, it will be familiar territory to pretty much everyone, I can guarantee, having seen three episodes myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's not one person I've had a conversation with that can't resonate with the story in some way, be it their own journey or someone they love and care about.
Yeah. And I think, it's all treated with care, and no one's a punchline or...
Thank you for noticing that, because that was huge for us.
Yeah. Well, did you feel a sort of burden of responsibility to tell that story, with care and respect for people and not perpetuate any stereotypes or things like that?
Hugely. And I think from my own experience, the shame that comes with having gone through something like that, you just know what being made fun of feels like, and you don't want anyone to go through that.
Yeah. And, I mean, obviously it's carefully done, but it was also quite raw and graphic. We get vomit, shit, sex, and some very selfish behaviour. We can say these things because it's BFM. It's fine. Right from the get-go, first episode. Why did you want to make it so graphic? It's quite, you know, it's not uncommon on New Zealand screens, but it is quite, you know.
We wanted to make something we love watching.
Yeah.
And you know how you're talking about the title, Crackhead. It's like visceral, it's crunchy, it's in your face. And that was always the show we wanted to make.
Yeah.
And we didn't want to hold back. We wanted to, it was a fine line. Yes, we want to be confronting and in your face, but we also want our audiences to be able to digest it, those really dark things. So we were like, well, we want to make it funny so they can digest that heavier stuff.
Yeah, there's a bit of humour. Yeah, the fecal matter scene is quite funny.
It made you laugh?
It did make me laugh. Good. It's horrifying. but yeah, it's... I want to ask you what you used, but I won't.
You want to ask with what?
What did you use for the fecal matter?
I believe it was a combination of Milo and Weet-Bix.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I hope that doesn't take away from how gory it is.
No. It's if anything, it adds to the visceral nature of it. And
It was ginger nuts.
Ginger nuts.
I think it was ginger nuts and chocolate powder.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. Fascinating. Interesting. Did you feel vulnerable putting all this stuff out there?
Completely.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
But it's also been really cathartic because, like we were just talking about, it's a thing that resonates with so many people. And so you end up sharing it and you're like, oh, I don't need to feel shameful about this with you because you get it.
Yeah. Have many people sort of spoken to you about their own personal experiences, or have you had any sort of like, oh, whoa, you had a similar experience and I never would have guessed moments?
So many, and especially since the show's come out, these messages saying, oh, my sister was just like that, so-and-so ended up burning our house down. It just, and you're like, oh, yeah, wow. Or it's surreal seeing your experience going into a psych care because I went through the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that must be quite a profound, knowing it is a rather common subject matter and people see familiarity in a show like this.
It's exactly what we'd hoped out. Audiences would take away from it is being able to resonate with it in that way.
Yeah, because you don't like, you don't want to be voyeuristic, or you don't want to be like, you know, not a freak show, that's the wrong word, but like, you know, oh, look at all these degenerates.
Completely.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
We want to be the opposite of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Was there much workshopping the script and the story? Did you go through lots of sensitivity reads, or what was the process to kind of make sure everything was how it should be and needed to be to do this properly?
I'd always for me, starting it off, would always go back to what was my lived experience, so what felt true. And then I had an incredible writing mentor, Sam Shaw, who completely understood this world. And then we had the team of people. You've got Warner Bros, Philip Rooney, our producer Britta Hawkins, and then Commissioner Tina McLaren at TV3, all people who understood and respected the subject matter and respected that it was a personal story. So we were always drawing from that.
Yeah. When did you get the green light that it was all going ahead?
In 2024.
Okay. How did that feel?
It was incredible because it wasn't overnight. And so there were all these steps along the way, like, yes, you've got development funding. Yes, you've got some more development funding. And I think a little part of you is like, okay, it may not happen. It's been a really long time. And getting that green light, well, I think it was one of the best days of mine and my husband's life.
Did you celebrate anyhow?
Oh, yeah. We had this great song. So I went to my day job that day and then came home. And do you know the song Freaks by Savage?
Yeah.
he had that blasting. He had balloons. It was special.
Yeah. And because you got NZ on air funding for this, which is pretty major and
huge.
Yeah. Like, you wouldn't have been able to do it without.
Like, I'd buy Lotto every week, but yeah, no, it was NZ on air funding that we needed.
Yeah. Who's been critical in putting the show together? Obviously your name's on it and it's very much your project, but these things aren't. There's no way you could do something like this alone. Who has been the sort of core team to bringing Crackhead to life?
We had our launch party, and I mentioned them. I call them my good guys. They're like the top five. And so it was Philip Arrini at Warner Bros., my writing mentor, Sam Short. Like getting a writing mentor who builds confidence in you rather than being like, this is shit, you know. Mm. So he didn't do that. Getting a producer who shared mine and my husband's vision, Britta Hawkins. And then obviously Tina McLaren at the network. Yeah. Who, like, we'd taken it to people, but you've got psychosis, sexual assault, suicidal ideation, addictive behaviors. It's very hard, a hard show to get across the line. So Tina at three did.
Yeah.
And then my husband, Emma.
Yeah, how was it working with your husband? Have you worked together before?
We've worked together so much.
Okay,
so cool. He directed Awkward Love.
Yeah.
We, when it comes to projects and making shows, we love the same thing. We share the same language. And so with Crackhead, we shared the same vision. And especially with a project like this, going to those darker places, having someone like him to hold me, or someone I know that well, I could just check in and be with, like, hey, is this okay?
Yeah, that kind of trust from a personal relationship must help.
Yeah.
Was, what about casting? How, because the cast is quite incredible. Obviously, there's yourself playing Frankie. Anna Scottney's amazing. You've got Sarah Wiseman, Midiyama Smith, Errol Shand as the Last Resort staff. It's pretty, great. And then Arlo Green with Scottish accent. I want to ask you about that.
Yes.
Yeah. How did the casting come together? Did you sort of have a dream cast and tick it off? Or did it go from like, oh, this audition was incredible, they have to play that role?
A bit of both.
Yeah.
Yes, you have your dream cast, but the rule was everyone has to audition. And so many of the dream cast came to life and you could feel it in the room.
Yeah.
It was just that thing of people playing the truth of these characters and having no tropey elements to it. And they were heavy hitting scenes. And so when people dropped in like that, like, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it.
Yeah,
it
I could see them.
It was really powerful.
Yeah. And like Sarah and Midiyama, I really love, because you can tell there's a lot going on below the surface. Oh, like they're being professional, but they're not. They're very much not even two-dimensional. Like, there's something there.
They bring so much life.
Yeah.
So much, so much life, so much realness, so much rawness.
Mm.
And I'm actually really excited for you to see how those two play out.
Oh, okay, cool. And, I mean, Anna Scottney is like formidable in that role.
That's the best word.
Yeah. Because it's this unknown character. People see it when they see it, but she's such a talent.
And in life, Anna has the most beautiful energy and such a curiosity about the world. She was really perfect for the character of Owlcat, because it was so important to her to... Owlcat's can be a scary character, right? Mm. And it was so important for her to really find the truth in her and the brokenness and be like, okay, but what makes her tick? Why is she doing these things? She's not just someone who's out to get Frankie. There's more to it.
Yeah, and Anna's so, warm and deep and sensitive and,
And Owlcat's not those things.
No, but underneath, that exists in everyone.
Yeah, there's huge sensitivity.
Yeah, and why does Arlo Green have a Scottish accent?
That's who that was the character.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
So in my head, I did imagine more of like a younger Mel Gibson, Braveheart kind of energy, right?
Yeah.
And then you see what Arlo Green brought to his audition, and it was undeniable.
Yeah, because he's so funny and got this sort of elegant physicality, and and then the accent, I felt like it was kind of almost a Trainspotting reference or something.
I mean, accidentally.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is...
Totally.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have referenced Trainspotting as... They were like, is that what the defecation scene? Or can I just say shit scene?
You can say shit. This is BFM. We've got it on T-shirts. You can say shit.
Yeah, is that what the shit scene was based on, inspired by? Have you seen Trainspotting?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, no, but that's powerful.
Yeah, I think it's quite a common situation when you have that kind of lifestyle. I've been watching it, and episodes are a brisk 30 minutes, and there's 8 of them. Why the brevity? Did you want to keep it sort of short and sweet and not make it this sort of traumatic, drawn-out saga of, like, you know, hour-and-a-half-long episodes of...
Well, we could have, and it could have been, like, in the world of Euphoria, but I feel like it does become a bit more of a drama genre.
Yeah.
Whereas where Crackhead's sitting now, it's definitely, yeah, it's got that, it's got drama, but it's got that comedy too. So I feel like it sits in that good pacey half hour. And yeah. Well, not just me. That was what the networks thought too.
Yes, yes. No, I think half hour episodes are underrated because it's nice to sort of not be like, you know, I've got to plug in for a whole hour.
Or
you can sort of watch it before dinner, after dinner. Quite user friendly. Speaking of television, what is there anything you're watching at the moment that you're enjoying or anything you're looking forward to, anything you can recommend on the TV front?
I don't know if you've seen it, but there's like this Game of Thrones spin-off.
Oh, Night of the Seven Kingdoms?
Yes.
Everyone says it's amazing.
It is so wildly good.
And okay.
They've done this great thing. So original Game of Thrones sits in that hour, right?
Yeah.
These guys are sitting in the half hour.
Is it half hour episodes?
Yeah.
Ooh.
And it's funny.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just violence against women and dragons?
No, it's not that at all. And I can't... we enjoyed it so much. It's that thing of, like, it comes out once a week, we actually started looking forward to each episode, so I would rate that.
Yeah, I would rate... I think it's out on the 20th. Is that tomorrow? Yes. Deadlock. Have you watched Deadlock?
My husband loves it.
It is so good. First season, and I don't know anyone, no one else has ever seen it, so I've got no one to talk to about it.
When he comes to pick me up, have a chat.
Yeah, it's hilarious, yeah. Like, Middle and Sammy, too
brilliant.
Funny. Yeah.
He was actually inspired by a lot of the wide shots they use for Crackhead because the comedy worked so well. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Yes, big wide shots and this sort of situational sort of action that's quite hilarious. And yeah, it's also very good kind of social commentary, and the characters in it are just so perfectly captured, and you've met all of them at some point, and it's so funny.
I hope he's listening to us right now.
He can, he should be. And the new season's out and it's set in Darwin, so yeah,
we have to get amongst.
Very good, very exciting. Holly, what else is on your calendar this year? Obviously, you've got a child to keep alive, which is a full-time job.
Terrifying.
I know. What else are you looking forward to? What else is on your slate? What's in the pipeline?
Obviously, the dream is to make more Crackhead.
Yeah.
And my husband and I have another dream project, which goes into the hour-long world, and it's very dark. I guess it's like Crackhead without the lols.
Oh, God. Okay. Stay tuned for that. Thank you so much, Holly. That was Holly Shervey, who is the creator and star of Crackhead, TV3's new show. She plays Frankie, a woman sent to a mental health facility for her addiction issues, and meets a whole lot of characters there. And it's airing now on, TV3. So a great one to watch, I'm sure. Sure, you recognize some stuff in there. We all do. we've all been around this planet long enough.
Yeah.
Thank you, Holly. Thank you for coming in. It was really nice to talk to you.
Thank you so much.